8 p.m., BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time, WABC, New York.
It's Texaco Time with Fred Allen. Welcome to the Texaco Star Theater, ladies and gentlemen, and a special welcome to our armed forces all over the world who will hear this program by shortwave. Tonight, we present Fred Allen, Kenny Baker, Portland Hoffa, our special guest, Jack Haley, Man About Hollywood, the winner of the Texaco College competition, Josh Wheeler from Louisiana State University at Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Al Goodman's orchestra. An hour of mirth and melody brought to you by the Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Ladies and gentlemen, in clothing stores today, men can't get cuffs on their trousers or lapels on their coats. We now bring you a man who, everyone agrees, should be given a belt in the back. And here he is, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Jimmy, I heard that the belt in the back innuendo you just foaled there a second ago. Now, do you by any chance know of anyone who is equipped to do this belting?
Well, Jack Benny has been threatening for a long time.
I... You mean the Mickey Rooney of the gay 90s? Old Grunion Grover is going to do it? Look, let me tell you, Jimmy, he can't lick the point on an ice cream cone, that man. Did you have the ill luck to hear his program tonight?
No, Fred. How was it?
Well, it was, confidentially, it was aspirin bait with music tonight. The program opened. Benny was broadcasting from Camp Callan in California. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a new thing in the Army out on the coast now. Before, you know, years ago, up till this present time, when a soldier broke a rule, he had to do KP duty. You know, peel potatoes, do dirty work. But since Benny started playing army camps, KP duty has been done away with, Jimmy. If a soldier does something for punishment, he has to attend the Benny broadcast on the camp. They get even with them that way. Well, the program opened tonight. Don Wilson introduced the greatest comedian in the world.
Oh.
And then Mr. Benny came on and didn't deny it. I mean, he just let it... The greatest comedian in the world. It shows what a sad and sorry shape the world is in, doesn't it? No, honestly, I don't know about that guy lately. Benny is getting so hammy, his eyes are beginning to look like two cloves, you know? Well, the show got going. After that, the show got going. Going, I use the word loosely in this instance. And they had some gags about Benny going in swimming and getting his bathing suit full of grunion. His bathing suit, his old suit that he wears. And no one on the program could figure out why the grunion should flock around Benny. You see, a grunion is a little fish they have out there in California. Without enough strength to come east, it stays out. And the people... The people on the program couldn't tell whether the grunion went after Benny because Benny has that wormy appearance. And I figured the whole thing out, Jimmy. The real reason the grunion, these little fish like Benny, is because the grunion belongs to the smelt family, you see. And if a smelt is lonesome, naturally it will go to a man who, as an actor, has smelt for many years. The little fish and the fish. Well, I guess that's about... There were some other things, Jimmy, but we'll skip over them. We're a little late already, I see.
Well, you know, there's certainly more than that to this program.
Yes, there is, Jimmy. You bet there is, Jimmy. And to prove it, I'll turn to the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly lowlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. New dim-out order to curtail the haze of light thrown on the water by city's illumination vitally affects metropolitan apartment dwellers and store owners. All New York mobilizes to help Perfect the dim out. The Bronx Aquarium announces...
The electric eel will be dimmed until further notice.
Waitress, how did he get out of the tank from the aquarium? Waitress in a 6th Avenue delicatessen reports...
During the dim out, we are serving in chicken sandwiches no light meat.
No light meat. A prominent news commentator says...
I used to say I'll be back in a flash with a flash. From now on, both flashes are out.
Well, what will you say?
I'll be back in the dark with a remark.
March of Trivia interviews several specimens of riffraff to learn their strange experiences since the new dim-out rule went into effect. Now, first, a real Broadway character. What is your name again, brother?
The Hepset calls me Sharp Sherman.
Sharp Sherman, hey? Well, what is your work?
Wank is a sucker's pastime, chum. I live by my wits.
You do, really?
Yeah. There's one born every minute. Somebody's got to take him. That's where I come in, Sharp Sherman.
Well, how sharp are you, Sherman?
Well, who is the first one on Broadway to sell them gold watches for half a buck?
A solid gold watch for 50 cents?
Yeah, the case was a Woolworth Compact.
Well, what about the works? What made them tick?
Inside, I had a cricket.
I'd like to hear a cricket at the moment. I mean... Sherman, you are a sharp... That joke writer is through. Is that man on the premises? Last joke I'll take from an usher in here. They come out. But, Sherman, you are sharp.
Who started painting Brussels sprouts with white enamel and selling them for gardenias?
You?
Sharp Sherman, chum. I don't miss a trick.
Well, what about this dim out, Sherman? Have you worked out a racket?
Oh, yeah, I'm light legging.
Light legging? What is light legging?
Well, it's like bootlegging, only with a light.
Wow. How do you mean?
Well, during a dim out, you can't see nothing. You're afraid to strike a match. A cop might be around.
That's right.
I nudge you and I say, can you use a little light, chum?
What would I need a light for?
Well, supposing you're going in the automat. I follow you in, whip out a flashlight, and light up the slots for you.
Well, that's good. That's helpful.
Yeah, you're getting out of a taxi. You can't see to pay the driver. You might give him too much. I light up your bankroll for you.
Well, tell me, my bankroll is light as it is already. But tell me, Sharp Sherman, what do you charge for this service?
I don't charge you nothing.
Where does your profit come in?
After I put out my light and it's dark again...
Yeah?
I pick your pocket.
Well, give me back my fountain pen and get out of here with that cricket. Sharp Sherman. Hey, chap, pick up the cricket gag as you leave, Sherman. A chap who is unhappy about the dim out is Fonseca Fradkin. Now, what is your... You are the original Fonseca. We've had imposters coming. You're in Fonseca. Just checking up. Well, what is your squawk, Fonseca?
Thanks to the dim out, I am momentarily a bum.
Momentarily, huh? Well, what happened?
Well, I was formerly a barker at a certain movie theater.
I see.
All day long, I stood outside, and with a straight face, I'd say... It's a great show, folks. Step right in. Step right in.
With a straight face, you'd say that.
Yeah.
Well, were you a good barker, Fonseca?
Oh, the best. You could be going home, running for a train.
Yeah?
If you passed by me, I'd bark you into the theater.
Well, how did you do it, Fonseca?
It was a trick I learned from Dale Carnegie.
Oh, I see.
I only took half his course.
You only took half of Dale Carnegie's course?
Yeah, I couldn't win friends.
Uh-huh.
But oh, how I could influence people.
Well, what about this Broadway demo?
Well, the first night it was so dark in front of the theater, I couldn't see nothing.
I see.
I kept walking up and down, barking.
Yeah?
I could hear people passing me. I kept barking.
Uh-huh.
About 10 o'clock that night, the manager comes out with a lit punk looking for me.
Comes out with a lit punk.
Yeah, he says, "What's going on, Fonseca? The theater's empty."
Yeah.
I says, "I'm barking, ain't I?" He says, "Yeah, but you ain't in front of the theater."
You mean it was so dark you had strayed away from the front of the picture theater?
I barked 2,000 people up an alley.
Well, what did the manager do?
He blew out his punk and says, "Fonseca, you're through."
put out two punks simultaneously, and thank you, Fonseca Fradkin. Well, a young lady who is happy about the lack of Broadway lighting is Miss Vicky Welk. You look pleased tonight, Vicky.
Yeah, but Dimmock done me a favor.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, for 2 years, I've been going out with a certain boyfriend, Chester.
He's been taking you dancing and the pictures, you mean?
Not Chester. He's as tight as the back of a sailor's pants.
Well, what do you do for excitement?
Every night with Chester, it's the same routine. He walks me up and down Broadway.
Walks you up and down. Well, tell me, Vicky, has the dim out affected your walking?
Yeah. Lately, it's so dark, me and Chester has been wearing squeaky shoes.
Squeaky shoes for what?
So we don't lose each other.
Oh, in the dark, I see.
Yeah, if Chester and me get separated, we listen for each other's squeaks.
And when one of you hears the other squeak?
We follow the squeak so we get together.
Well, how has this game of hide-and-go-squeak been working out?
Oh, we was doing okay till last night.
And something happened?
Chester and me got split up in the dark.
Uh-huh.
I stopped till I hear a squeak.
Yeah?
I can't see nothing. I go to the squeak and grab a knob.
I see.
We walk around for an hour, maybe. We're both squeaking, saying nothing.
Just squeaking, uh-huh.
Yeah. Finally, we start for home. I'm listening to Chester squeak, and he seems to be squeaking in a higher key.
Yeah?
Well, we get home, and I bend up to kiss Chester. I get a pucker full of mustache.
It wasn't Chester?
Later, it comes out the guy's name is Salvador something.
But that high squeak.
Salvador was wearing elevator shoes. He was squeaking 4 inches higher.
Oh. Well, with new shoes, we the people squeak, and thank you, Vicky Wells. Well, I imagine that about...
See your exit, Salty Sam. Falstaff's here with Epigram.
Openshaw, you're not back again with more broken-down poems.
Have you heard, said the wren to the hen... Never again.
No, I haven't heard that one.
Or, I was lying on the village green, and she was thumbing her tambourine.
No, I don't recall that.
My mother's not doing the conga bouncer. A bee got into her bustle.
Now, is enough. Too much in this particular instance. That's done it. Tonight you are my boy, but not tonight. Tonight we have been discussing the dim out on Broadway.
Precisely why I am here.
Don't tell me that you have written a poem.
No, tonight I have written a song.
A song?
Yes. I have brought the Snug Harbor Serenaders.
These are the Snug Harbor Serenaders.
The little man is a rigger.
Oh. I suspected that.
He was formerly with Lynn Murray.
Oh, he left Lynn Murray, did he?
Yes, yes. One day there were two harp strings missing. The little man was seen flossing his teeth. There were words. The little man started freelancing. And...
Never mind all that. What about your dim-out song?
Gentlemen, if you will.
The lights at night don't shine as bright. Up and down dear old Broadway. The Wrigley ad has dimmed the chat. That used to light dear old Broadway. And Sloppy Joe's cut down his flow. Joe's flow don't glow on Broadway. The streets as black as hack and sack.
Since the dim out has come to Broadway. Thank you, Falstaff, and the Snug Harbor Serenaders. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to Kenny Baker. And for his first song tonight, Kenny has selected Estrellita. Al Goodman raises his baton, and Kenny sings.
Thank you. guiding star, there in your home afar. Through the night, silvery light, for you will shine. Eyes of heaven gently looking down and gazing into mine. Estreita, oh my Estreita, each night I watch for you, and you are watching too, and I know where I may go if wandering stray. You will ever be my beacon light to lead me on tonight in your palace above. Your silvery light leads me on to love. At your call, as my God, if your love should stray, then I would pray to
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Jimmy Wallington, who looks as though he had a slogan in mind.
You're right, Fred. I have a slogan, and a good slogan.
What is it, Jimmy?
Care for your car, for your country.
Say, that is an important slogan today, isn't it?
Yes. Care for your car, for if you're careless today, you may be carless tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, make the care of your car systematic with your Texaco dealer's war conditioning service. Don't rely on occasional attention. Keep your car in fighting trim by seeing that it gets Texaco war conditioning regularly. Your Texaco dealer's war conditioning includes Marfac 40-point chassis lubrication, regular care of tires, air cleaner, batteries, spark plugs, radiator, front wheel bearings, crankcase, transmission, differential, and body finish, and a systematic reminder service to tell you when your car should be attended to again. Enlist a Texaco dealer as your personal car warden. Start tomorrow with his war conditioning service. And ask for your copy of his booklet, Care for Your Car, for Your Country, 16 pages of car-saving facts, free at your Texaco dealer.
Well, that was very good, Jimmy, but I think you got that same message over much better about 2 weeks ago with that song, remember?
Oh, you mean Care for Your Car, for Your Country?
That's right. How did that song go again?
Show 'em, boys.
Care for your car, for your country. It's your duty to beware of every squeak. Let your nearest filling station make frequent lubrication so your moving parts are always at a peak. Drive in often for car-saving service. Let them keep your valves and carburetor clean. They'll advise elimination of undue acceleration as the way to get more mileage from your gasoline. Blow your tires and now on ration if you use them in rotation. And check on their inflation, they'll go twice as far. You have an asset for old Uncle Sammy. Make it last for the duration of the war. Almost every occupation needs this vital transportation. Keep it up to par.
That's what I meant, Jimmy. Care for your car, for your country. Now, that should be the theme song of every motorist in the country today. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Mr. Owens!
Well, for them. Say, you look as happy as a man with four new tires and two X cards tonight. Are you ready for some fun?
No, I had too much fun yesterday.
Too much fun? You took a good look at your mother, did you?
No. Mama took me on a picnic. We went to a park.
Oh, you went to a park? What park?
Belmont.
Belmont? Why, Belmont Park is a racetrack.
We found that out.
Well, how?
Well, Mama and I went out to Belmont early to start the picnic.
I see.
All morning, we played tag and leapfrog.
Tag and leapfrog. Good, fine, fine. Good,
about
good.
2 o'clock, Mama spread the lunch out on the grass.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, Mama heard a bugle blow. Then she jumped up and yelled, "Runaway horse, stop him."
Runaway horse. I'm wrong.
One horse was running around in a circle, and 6 other horses were chasing it.
Runaway horse. Look, that was the first race.
Then every few minutes, the bugle would blow, and the horses would run away again.
No, wait a minute. I'll explain this to you. The horses at Belmont Park meet by appointment, you see. They hire a man to blow a bugle, and the horses run every day on purpose, mind you, not accidentally.
Oh, it's silly, isn't it?
You mean horse racing is silly?
Yes. 40,000 men will go out to see... Excuse me.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're talking about horses. You keep that frog out of this. Oh, you want to start again? You say horse racing is silly, you say?
Yes. 40,000 men will go out to see horses racing, and when men are racing, not even one horse will show up.
Well, I know, but what the men have when they get through at the track is not hay, and what the horses had if they would come would be hay. You see, that's what you... Yes, horses are pretty selfish that way, Portland. Tell me, what else happened at the racetrack?
Well, some man gave Mama a horse to bet on.
What horse?
Grandma's Girdle. It was in... It was in the last race. Mama bet $2.
Well, how did Grandma's Girdle do?
It weakened in the stretch.
Weakened? That's been disappointing to the old lady, but your mother is very silly to bet. Oh, hello, Kenny. I didn't see you.
Hi, F.A. Hello, Porting.
Hello, Kenny.
Say, F.A.,
yeah?
Have you noticed any improvement in me during the last month?
Improvement, Kenny?
Yes. Our Boy Scout troop has been having self-improvement drives.
What's that, Kenny?
Well, each week, it's some great man's birthday, see? And that week, we try to live like that great man.
Well, how has it been working out?
Swell. On Thomas Edison's birthday, I only slept 4 hours at night, and all week I was inventing.
Well, what did you invent, Kenny?
It's a combination I-cup and percolator top.
Well, that sounds handy.
If you've got something in your eye, it's an eye cup, see?
I see.
And if you want to make coffee, it's a percolator top.
Uh-huh. Well, what else? Whom else have you been impersonating?
When it was Benjamin Franklin's birthday, I flew a kite all week.
Well, whose birthday is it this week?
Rockefeller's, and I want a raise.
I know. Why, every Sunday, it's some new trick to get more money.
Oh, loosen up, Bob, just this week.
Well, why this week?
I want to show the scoutmaster my paycheck and say, something new has been added.
Well, if you keep up, something new will be subtracted, Kenny. And I don't mean latakia. Well, I've got to see if our guest showed up.
Oh.
Well, we were supposed to have Thorndike McKeister, Portland. He played a wolf howl in the new Marlene Dietrich picture. He's hot right now. We were going to have him. But Just before the program started, I got this wire here from Jack Haley.
What does it say?
Have got to see you tonight. Very important. We'll be there any minute.
The door is opening now.
And here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Meet our unexpected guest, Jack Haley. Say, you look excited, Jack.
I am, Fred. Did you get my wire?
Yeah, now calm down. Calm down, Jack. You're all out of breath.
I couldn't wait for a taxi. I ran all the way over from the Grand Central. I had to tell you.
You tell me what?
After 15 years, what we've both been waiting for, it's back.
Well, what is back?
Vaudeville.
Well, you're crazy, Jack. Vaudeville is dead. You remember the funeral at the palace some years ago? Why, you and I were two of the pallbearers, as I remember.
Somebody opened the grave, Fred.
You mean vaudeville is haunting theaters again?
Woolley Howard, Lou Holtz, Phil Baker had the biggest hit in New York. It's a vaudeville show.
Well, I know, but that's only New York.
Believe me, Fred, I've been making personal appearances. I just played Waterbury. Vaudeville is a sensation up there.
Not in Waterbury.
Yes, Waterbury. And you know if vaudeville can come back in Waterbury, it can come back any place.
Why, I died in Waterbury before vaudeville died.
Fred, radio and pictures aren't enough today. Audiences all over are clamoring for vaudeville. What are we waiting for?
We? What have I got to do with it, Jack?
You and I can team up and go back into vaudeville. We'll make a fortune.
Oh, look, Jack, vaudeville's all right for you. You're not working.
Not working? I just finished working in a picture at Paramount, Beyond the Blue Horizon, with Dorothy Lamour.
Well, so what?
I'm giving up all that, Hollywood and everything, to go back in vaudeville. Fred, you've got to go.
Look, I have got 5 more weeks in radio.
Radio? What do you want with radio? This drudgery? This sham? This gold mine?
Well, Jack, I am happy here in my little gold mine. I am just digging and digging away and sending it to Washington on the hour.
You're killing yourself. Look at those bags under your eyes. Your eyes look as though you're hiding behind 2 kumquats.
I know how I look.
Do you ever have any fun in radio?
Well, no.
Remember all the good times we used to have in vaudeville? A new town every week, girl acts on the bill.
Girl acts on
the bill. Oh, and all those friends you used to have, Miller and Mack, Lane and Freeman, the LaToy sisters, Jack Norworth, Lucille and her cockatoo.
I've had plenty of birds, but none like that. Yes, I sure had plenty of friends in vaudeville.
What friends have you got in radio?
Well, I...
Do you know young Dr. Malone?
No, I...
No. Have you ever met John's other wife?
No.
No. I'll bet you don't even know John's first wife.
I don't even know John.
That's what I mean. Has one man's family ever had you over for dinner?
No.
You've been in radio 10 years, and who do you know? Jack Benny. He's your friend?
Well, hardly. No, I would.
Fred, come on back in the vaudeville where your real friends are.
Well, what makes you think vaudeville will last, Jack?
You remember Mother Sparrow's boarding house in Baltimore?
Oh, boy, Mother Sparrow. Mother Sparrow used to serve the biggest steak in town. It had horns on it. Why, you could hang your hat on a steak while you were eating it. And Mother Sparrow's rates. Remember, room and board, $1 a day?
If you had ulcers, it was 75 cents a day.
You got a rate. Does Mother Sparrow think vaudeville's coming back?
Does she? She's putting out the fence workers to make room for actors.
No kidding.
Yeah. Do you remember that guy in Philadelphia who used to sell the fake jewelry to the vaudeville actors?
Yeah.
Well, last week he ordered 10,000 rhinestones and 2 coils of chicken wire to make up the ring.
Oh. Vaudeville must be back, Jack.
It is, Fred. All the old acts are getting ready.
What act?
Do you remember Splane's Cats and Rats?
Splane's Cats and Rats. Why, they laid off so long, the cats ate the rats, as I remember.
I met Splane this morning. He's still got the cat.
What about rats?
Blaine is casting.
He's casting, huh?
I saw him going down a rat hole this morning with 2 pounds of cheese.
He's casting. Well, Splane will have his act together in no time.
Say, do you remember Amazo, the mind reader?
Amazo? What's he been doing?
Amazo's been a bartender in a deaf and dumb tavern.
He's ready to?
Yes, Amazo's opening at Stamford tomorrow.
A mind reader in Stamford. What'll he do up there?
Remember Murphy's midgets?
Oh, sure. When Vaudeville died, Murphy shaved his midgets and put them in an orphan asylum.
Good now. Murphy got his midgets out today. He's signing the adoption papers.
Say, just talking about Vaudeville makes me homesick, Jack. The straw suitcase, the spotlight, the grease paint on my collar, and St. Joe. They love me in St. Joe. They were fickle there.
Here's what we'll do, Fred. You and I'll get our own vaudeville show out.
But we'll need 8 other acts, Jack. What comedians aren't working?
With us, who needs comedians? I'll grab 8 animal acts.
Well, who's around?
How about Hagemeyer's Talking Dogs? They're a panic. You know, one sheepdog pulls his hair down over one eye and makes like Veronica Lake.
The dogs talk, you say?
Talk. At the finish of the act, the big St. Bernard steps down to the footlights and sells war bonds.
Great. We'll open with Hagemeyer's Dogs. Now, what's next?
Fifi and her 8 dancing bears.
Fifi?
It's an adagio act. Fifi's dressed like Goldilocks, and the 8 bears throw around while the band plays Embraceable You.
It'll stop this show.
Then Captain Hoff and his human seal.
Captain Hoff.
Flo McFadden's kangaroos.
Yeah.
And just before when you and I come on, we give them Golden Paul's mathematical hen.
Golden Paul's mathematical hen?
Oh, that hen is dynamite. Golden Paul lets the audience call out numbers, the hen adds them up, and then clucks out the answers.
Jack, frankly, do you think we can follow a hen?
Oh, that's right, too. 15 minutes of clucks, and then we walk on.
That's right. How does the act, the hen act, finish?
Well, the hen answers 2 questions in trigonometry and then lays an egg in Golden Paul's hand.
No, the hen is out. The hen is out, Jack.
Well, anything you say, Fred.
We can't follow a sensation.
Oh, but wait till we hit vaudeville with this show.
Well, say, what about our act, the act we'll do, Jack?
It's in the bag, Fred. We've got personality.
Well, I know that, but what'll we use for jokes?
Oh, we've got some old wheezes like, a steamroller ran over my girl's cap. Has she got a long puss?
Good.
You remember that?
I've got that one about the cross-eyed man playing tiddlywinks. He always winks when he should tiddly. Yeah.
Well, that'll be optional.
Yes.
And the one about the little kid who was playing with the hose. His mother said, "Who put the dew on the grass?" And the kid said, "I doed it."
Good. Yes, say, what an act. How do we finish, Jack?
With a wow song and dance.
I remember that old song and dance you used to do.
Sure, what are we waiting for, Fred? I've got 2 straw hats right here. Let's run through the finish.
All right, wait till we get our hats. Would you give us the hats there, Maestro?
Hey, what?
All set? All set. Give them the music cue, Jack.
If you please, Professor.
It's moonlight all the time on Broadway. Every night the sky is clear. And can always see a lot of stars on Broadway. Every evening they appear. There is no voting down on Broadway, but taxi cabs are just as fine. On moonlight all the time on Hero Broadway. And every night is summertime. Every night is summer, every night is summer, every night is summer time.
We don't mean winter.
Every night is summer time.
gentlemen, while Jack Haley changes his makeup to appear with the Texaco Workshop Players later, we return you to Kenny Baker, and Kenny sings for you now, Skylark.
My love can be. Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring where my heart can go a journey over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane? And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? Wonderful music, faint as a will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy, serenading the moon. Oh, Skylark, I don't know if you can find these things, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me there? Riding on your wings. Could you see them anywhere? Won't you lead me there?
Thank you, Kenny. That was very nice. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Jimmy Wallington.
Congratulate me, Fred. I just passed my driving test.
Your driving test? Well, don't tell me you've been working on the Texaco show all these years, Jimmy, without knowing how to drive.
Oh, no, Fred. But I'm learning to drive a new way. You see, millions of American motorists are taking a test every time they drive these days, testing their ability to get every possible mile from their gasoline. For now, every mile counts. And that's why it's wise to use a high-quality gasoline, Texaco Fire Chief or premium Texaco Sky Chief. The Texaco dealer, as your personal car warden, suggests you take this 10-second driving test. If you answer these questions yes, you're wasting gasoline. When you start, do you race the motor? Do you use low and second gear more than absolutely necessary? Do you use the choke when the motor is warm? Do you drive faster than 40? Your car warden, the Texaco dealer, also recommends these mechanical tests. Have your carburetor and spark plugs tested, cleaned, and adjusted. Have your motor tuned to top performance. And make sure your car is thoroughly and regularly lubricated. Yes, motorist, pass that driving test. Get full mileage from every gallon of gasoline you use. Now, when every mile counts, use a high-quality gasoline, Texaco Fire Chief or premium Texaco Sky Chief. After a brief pause for station identification, Fred Allen returns to present the most talented undergraduate of Louisiana State University and the Texaco Workshop Players, starring Jack Haley. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WABC, New York.
Juan
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Texaco Star Theater brings you the most talented undergraduate of a leading institution of higher learning. Tonight, we salute the Louisiana State University of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, by presenting its most talented student. Chosen by a vote of the undergraduate body, the winner has come to New York as Fred Allen's guest with all expenses paid and a cash award of $200. Now, Fred, are you ready to introduce our guest?
Yes, Larry. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Louisiana State University's most talented undergraduate, Josh Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Well, congratulations, Josh, and welcome to Texaco's Clowning Campus. Have you ever been to New York before?
No, sir, Mr. Allen. This is my first trip.
Well, now that you're here, Josh, I suppose you want to see the sights.
Well, not particularly. I had one thing in my mind, Mr. Allen.
You mean you'd like to have the 6th Avenue L put back up so that you can see it?
No. While I'm here in New York, I'd like to hear John Charles Thomas in concert.
Well, I'm afraid, unfortunately, that you're out of luck, Josh. I believe Mr. Thomas is away on the road at the present time. But gosh, Josh, if you're going to be disappointed, you know, I can sing off a few loaves of shortening bread for you. So,
no, thanks, if you don't mind. I heard you sing with Mr. Haley earlier in the program.
Mr. Haley, I get it. Well, there isn't much difference between John Charles Thomas's and my shortening bread, Josh. My shortening bread sounds a little crummier, but outside tell a difference. But this has nothing to do with LSU. Josh, tell us something about your school.
Well, Louisiana State University is situated at Baton Rouge. The school is called the West Point of the Deep South.
Why, Josh?
The first president of LSU was General William T. Sherman, and ever since General Sherman's time, the military has been stressed. The cadet is the symbol of LSU.
In these times, I imagine many LSU graduates are active in our armed forces.
Yes, the president of our university, General Campbell B. Hodges, was a classmate of General MacArthur's at West Point.
Fine.
And Brigadier General Claire L. Chenault, an LSU graduate, is in charge of the Chinese Air Force combat units today.
You mean the Flying Tiger?
Yes, that's right, Mr. Allen. General Chenault named his unit after the LSU football team. Our mascot, you see, is a great big tiger.
I know, Mike the Tiger. Well, after the fine work General Chenault has been doing with his Flying Tigers, I guess the number one song in Tokyo today is Hold That Tiger, Josh. But Louisiana State University has a lot to be proud of.
Yes, sir, it's a mighty fine school. And we're proud of our good neighbor policy as well.
Well, LSU isn't operating a branch in South America, is it?
No, but we've had the largest enrollment of Latin American students of any university in the country for some time.
Well, tell me, Josh, what are you studying down there at school?
Well, I'm majoring in music. We have a fine music department, and our opera director, Pasquale Amato, and our symphony conductor, Louis Hasselmans, were formerly the Metropolitan Opera Company.
Would you like to make music your career?
Yes, later on I hope to sing in opera or do concert work.
Well, tell me, do you belong to a fraternity?
Yes, I'm a Theta Xi and proud of it.
Well, fine. I am an old fraternity man, Josh. I am an Uncapa Pepsi Cola. That reminds me, Josh, I have been sort of looking forward to your visit tonight.
Why, Mr. Allen?
Well, last November, Spenny Spencer, a very charming young lady, came up from Tulane University at New Orleans, and as a gift from Governor Sam Jones in the good old state of Louisiana, Spenny brought me a 100-pound sack of sugar. Of course, that was last November, Josh.
Yes.
Well,
Mr. Allen?
The sugar is getting pretty low, Josh, and I know you folks down there in Louisiana kick sugar around. You call it sweet gravel, I believe, if you're using it around. And I thought...
Well, Mr. Allen, I have brought you a gift.
Granulated or lump, Josh?
But it isn't sugar.
It isn't sugar, Josh?
Seriously, no. The Louisiana State University has appointed you an honorary cadet.
Well, thank you, Josh. That is quite an honor. Thank you very much.
And the students at LSU ask and are now presenting to you Cadet Saber.
Well, they say this is beautiful, Josh. What is this writing on the scabbard here?
Well, it's an inscription. It reads, "To Fred Allen from the students of LSU, the Old War School, May 1942.
Well, thank you, Josh. Now I am all set. Let them ration their razor blades. I will put an edge on this saber here, Josh, and I will have the biggest chick injector in town. But I'm not joking, Josh. I want to thank the boys and girls at Louisiana State University, and you too, Josh, for your kindness tonight. Now, what about your number?
I'd like to sing the Song of the Vagabonds from Rudolph Frimmer's The Vagabond King.
Well, fine. Ladies and gentlemen, Louisiana State University's most talented undergraduate, Josh Wheeler, sings for us the Song of the Vagabonds.
Beggars of Paris town, you lousy rabble of low degree.
You rabble of low degree.
King Louis to keep his crown and save our city from Burgundy.
Our city from Burgundy.
You and I are good for nothing but to die. We can die for liberty. Sons of toil and danger, will you serve a stranger and bow down to Burgundy? Sons of shame and sorrow, will you cheer tomorrow for the crown of Burgundy? Onward, onward, forge against the foe. Forward, forward, the lily banners blow. Sons of France, around us, break the chain that bound us, and it's down to Burgundy.
Sons of toil and danger, will you serve a stranger and bow down to Burgundy? Sons of shame and sorrow, will you cheer tomorrow for the crown of Burgundy?
Thank you, Josh Wheeler. Thank you, Josh. I know your fellow students, the faculty, and the LSU alumni will be as pleased with your performance tonight as we are. And all of us here in the Texaco Star Theater wish you every success in your musical career. Now, next week, ladies and gentlemen, we shall present the most talented undergraduate of Southern Methodist University at Dallas, Texas. After hearing the three finalists over station KRLD in Dallas, the student body voted, the ballots have just been tabulated, and the winner is Miss Fairine Smith. Congratulations, Fairine. We'll be looking for you here next Sunday night. And now, here comes Larry Elliott, apparently. Well, you look a little tired, Larry.
Yes, I've been up all night working on my new book.
Oh, new book?
Yes, I'm writing a sequel to Gone with the Wind. It's called Stay with the Air.
What is it, a novel?
No, Fred, it's some figures on how much longer your tires can stay in service if you keep the air up to the correct pressure. Would you believe it, Fred? The average tire will wear out 600 miles before it should if the air pressure is kept only 1 pound below the correct point.
In other words, if you don't give your tires air, they give you the air, huh?
Yes, and here's another thing that ruins tires quickly, speed. America could save 7 million tire miles every year if every driver would reduce his average speed 10 miles per hour. So make your tires last, ladies and gentlemen. Drive slowly, never over 40, and drive into your Texaco dealer regularly to have your tires checked. He'll check them over for cuts and other damage that can be repaired before they're ruined, too. For it's your Texaco dealer's job to keep that car of yours in good running condition. Not only with care for your tires, but with thorough, skilled lubrication and maintenance that may add many thousands of miles to the service you expect from the car itself. Use your Texaco dealer's training and experience. As your car warden, he's ready to help you to care for your car for your country.
And now the Texaco Workshop Players. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Workshop Players have no sketch prepared, unfortunately. And so then there will be a short intermission at this time. You're welcome to go.
Say, what is this here, Fred?
Nothing, Jimmy, except that we just haven't any sketch tonight.
No sketch? What happened?
Oh, what happened? Everything, Jimmy. You know I always write the sketch on Friday nights. Last Friday night, I had a great idea. I sat down at the typewriter at home and started to work. Suddenly, I heard two automobiles approaching. Then there was a crash. After the crash, I threw on my coat and ran out of the house. I heard a man and woman arguing.
Why don't you look where you're going?
You were driving over the white line.
Women drivers ought to be kept off the road, especially at night.
I smell liquor.
Well, if you smell liquor, sister, it's on you.
Now, wait. Can I help? What happened here, folks?
He drove right into me.
Is anyone hurt?
Well, I'm okay.
My knee hurts a little, but thank heavens my tires are all right.
Now, let me see your license, sister.
Here's mine. Where's yours?
Right here. The name's Homer McGee.
My name's Natalie Funston.
Well, as long as...
Wait a minute, Bud. Before you go, what's your name?
Fred Allen.
I'll put that down.
Me too.
Well, good night, folks.
Good night.
Well, I went back into the house, Jimmy, and sat down at the typewriter again and started to work. A minute later, there was a knock on the door. Come in.
Is your name Allen, Fred Allen?
Yes.
My name is Schuster, Shyster Schuster, attorney at law.
You're a lawyer?
Yes, now about this accident outside.
A lawyer? It didn't take you long to get here.
I came with the ambulance.
Oh.
My office is in a trailer. It hooks onto the ambulance.
Hooks on? Oh, I see.
My client, Homer McGee, is pretty badly banged up.
Well, I just saw Mr. McGee. He was all right when I left.
I carry a hammer in my coat.
Oh, I see.
You are my client's only witness, Mr. Allen. My whole case depends on your story.
But I didn't even see the accident. What story can I tell?
Oh, you're a writer. You'll think of something. I'll see you in court tomorrow morning. Good night.
Well, after Schuster left, Jimmy, I started typing again. Now, let me see. The sketch ought to start with the... Oh, watch this. Come in.
Mr. Allen?
Yes?
I just saw that Shyster Schuster coming out. I hope I'm not too late.
Well, who are you?
I'm Harvey Haley of Haley, Haley, Shapiro, Haley Attorneys.
Haley, Haley, Shapiro, and Haley?
Shapiro's the treasurer.
Oh. Well, look. Mr. Haley, I am trying to write a radio script here.
I'll be brief, Mr. Allen. My client, a Miss Funston, was badly injured in this accident outside.
Badly injured? She was all right a minute ago.
Fortunately, I found a rock in the gutter.
You mean?
A concussion is so helpful in accident cases.
Look, Mr. Haley, I'm writing...
With your testimony, Miss Funston and I will win this case, Mr. Allen.
But I didn't see the accident.
You heard the crash?
Yes.
You just heard I had a rock. Miss Funston has a concussion.
Yes.
Surely, Mr. Allen, you can put two and two together.
Now listen, Mr.
I'll
Haley.
I'll see you in court tomorrow morning. Good night.
See me in court. Well, I'll get busy on this sketch. Now, let me see. Sketch should open and... Come in.
Who's Fred Allen?
I am.
My name's O'Houlihan. I'm the cop on this beat.
Oh, you're officer? You're the cop, huh?
Yes.
Yes.
What about this accident?
Well, you're a policeman. Didn't you hear the crash?
I'm a sound sleeper.
You just found out about the accident?
Yeah, I pulled in my box. The sergeant was at the emergency ward with the victims.
The emergency ward?
Yeah, the sergeant was with two lawyers.
Schuster and Haley?
That's them. They told me to get the story from you.
But I didn't see the accident.
That's perjury, Allen. You're talking to the law.
Now listen, law or no law, I have been sitting here 5 hours trying to write a sketch. Two cars crashed outside. I went out. A man and woman were standing there arguing.
Well, who bumped into who?
Well, how do I know? Nobody was hurt. I came back in here to try and write my sketch.
Oh, you left the scene of an accident, eh?
I had nothing to do with it.
Oh, no, I'll see you in court tomorrow morning.
Oh, yes? Well, I won't be in court tomorrow morning.
Oh, yes, you will.
What makes you think I will?
Here's a summons. Good night.
Well, after that, Jimmy, I gave up the sketch. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. I had to be in court at 9. I slept 2 hours, and yesterday morning at 9 o'clock, I appeared in court. Well, as I walked in the courtroom, the judge was just calling the case.
Next case, Homer McGee versus Natalie Funston, and Natalie Funston versus Homer... Who's suing who?
Your Honor, my client, Homer McGee, is suing Natalie Funston.
Your Honor, my client, Natalie Funston, is suing Homer McGee.
Your client caused the accident.
Your client ran my client down.
That is a lie, you shot.
How have you despised?
I'll get you put out of law school. Why,
order! Order in the court! Order! Who Who's first?
I am, Your Honor.
Put your client on the stand.
Your Honor, Mr. McGee is here in this wheelchair. He is swathed in bandages. His arm is in a cast. You hear, Your Honor? Mr. McGee is suffering intense physical pain. He is in no condition to take the stand.
Very well, proceed.
Your Honor and members of the jury, Mr. Homer McGee sits before you a mental and physical wreck. On the night of May 22nd, Natalie Funston crashed into Mr. McGee. Miss Funston is a lady driver. Need I say more?
What damages are you asking?
Homer McGee is suffering multiple contusions and compound fractures. The index finger on his right hand is broken. He is deprived of making a living.
Mr. McGee made a living with his finger?
Mr. McGee is a radio producer, Your Honor.
And what does he do with his finger?
Formerly, he pointed his finger rigid at the actors to give them their cues.
I see.
Radio actors won't talk unless somebody points a finger at them.
And you say Mr. McGee's finger is useless?
As a result of this accident, the cord in Mr. McGee's finger has been severed. His finger hangs down. A director with a limp finger in radio is through. Mr. McGee's career is ruined, Your Honor. We are asking $50,000 damages from Miss Natalie Funston.
Is Miss Natalie Funston in court?
I am her attorney, Your Honor. Harvey Haley of Haley, Haley, Shapiro, and Haley.
Never mind your commercial. Put Miss Funston on the stand.
Miss Funston is here in an oxygen tent, Your Honor. Miss Funston is in great pain as a result of Homer McGee's drunken driving. Miss Funston will never work again. Both of her kneecaps are fractured.
She made a living with her kneecaps?
Miss Funston is first cellist with the Staten Island Philharmonic, Your Honor.
I see.
To play the cello, she has to hold it between her kneecaps. Today, both of Miss Funston's legs are stiff. Have you ever seen a cello player hold a cello with two stiff legs? No. Miss Funston is lost to music, Your Honor. We are asking $50,000 damage from Mr. Homer McGee.
What caused the accident?
It was Homer McGee's fault, Your Honor.
It was Natalie Funston's fault, Your Honor.
Quiet. Did anyone see the accident?
There was only one witness, a man named Fred Allen.
Where is this Fred Allen?
Right here, Your Honor.
Who was responsible for this accident, Allen?
I don't know, Your Honor.
You're the witness, aren't you?
I didn't see anything. I was in my house trying to write a sketch for my radio program. I heard two cars crash. I went outside to see what the trouble was.
A busybody, eh?
An apprentice busybody, Judge. I had beginner's luck. I didn't see anything. I don't know anything. Now, can I get out of here?
Not till this case is settled. Something caused this accident. The court's going to find out what it was. Homer McGee.
My client is in a wheelchair, Judge.
Wheel him up here.
Okay. Wheel up, Homer.
What happened, McGee?
Well, it was her fault, Judge.
Miss Funston ran into you?
Yeah, I came around the corner. Her lights blinded me. The next thing I know, she smacked me.
Natalie Funston.
My client is in this oxygen tent, Judge.
Tell her to peek out.
Miss Funston, Miss Funston, peek out, please.
Yeah.
What happened, Miss Funston?
I came around the corner. His lights blinded me. The next thing I knew, he smacked me.
It's a lie, Judge. It was her lights. My lights were off.
My lights were off, too, Judge.
Now we're getting someplace. You say both your car lights were off.
Yes, Your Honor.
Then where did that light come from?
Nobody was there.
Until that Mr. Allen came running out.
Fred Allen.
Yes, Your Honor.
You said you were sitting up?
I was trying to write my radio script.
I thought so.
But I didn't...
Without regard for the welfare of others, you sat writing a radio script.
Well, I...
Your curtain was up, light streamed into the street.
But
the glare blinded these motorists, causing this unfortunate accident.
But I was...
The city is trying to perfect its dim out. You sit at home, flooding the entire street with light.
Well, Your Honor...
The court charges you with criminal negligence and sabotage. $10,000 bail. Lock him up, officer.
Come on, saboteur.
Court's adjourned.
Well, Jimmy, the Morris plan went my bail, and I just got out this morning. That's why I haven't any sketch tonight.
Oh, gee, that's too bad.
Yeah, it is a shame, Jimmy. I had a swell idea all worked up. Gentlemen, just a reminder from Larry Elliott.
May we remind you that the annual National Poppy Drive is now on. Display your patriotism and buy a poppy.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. Now, next week, our guest will be Ben Burney, the old maestro in person, And the winner of the Texaco College competition at Southern Methodist University, Miss Fareen Smith. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the Texaco dealers from coast to coast, reminding you not to speed in your car. Speed ruins tires. Stay under 40 and save rubber. Have a Texaco dealer check your tires regularly. Drive in at any time. Remember, you're welcome. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.